So just go ahead and come back to the call here. So what was that experience like? What was the experience like? What did you feel in your body? Could you get into a nice rhythm? Could you get a flow of it? Anybody want to share their experience of it? Just raise your hand, I'll call you. Michael.
Yeah, I didn't feel any sexual energy moving along, but I did feel very relaxed. Like I quickly got into a zone where it's just like my mind just kind of stopped thinking about stuff. So that was really cool about it. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to feel anything especially sexual in that breathing exercise.
No, don't try to feel anything. Just experience it. But what if you do it regularly, you'll probably just notice more vitality in general through the day, mainly because you're breathing better. And there's just something about moving the energy. So for example, like I said, I ejaculate maybe once a month. So that means I get sometimes a little tension buildup, but not a lot. You know, I said, just at my age, if I get any tension built up down there, I'm doing a happy dance. I'm excited, right? But I'll move it that way. But another example is I fast. I do intermittent fasting, usually a couple of days a week, where I go from dinner one night to dinner the next night without eating. And that builds up tension. And I found that this circular breathing really moves the tension nicely. In fact, whenever we feel tension, we go look for ways to resolve it some way. We'll go eat, we'll look at our phones, we'll go look at porn, we'll take a drink. We're often just looking to resolve tension. So when I'm fasting, and I don't do it so much now, but early on, I get 1 o'clock in the afternoon and my brain say, go in the kitchen and grab a bunch of nuts and pop them in your mouth. Oh no, I'm fasting. It's like, I just want to go relieve tension. And this circular breathing is a really, really nice way to relieve any kind of tension. Do it before a meeting. You can just diaphragmatically breathe if you want, but I found something about the, I can't diaphragmatically breathe anymore without just doing the whole cycle. It's just kind of become a habit, but I think you'll feel more energized because it moves the energy and tension in your body through the day. And it keeps the sexual energy from pooling up. If you're in a solo sexual practice or with a partner, it keeps it moving through your body. And I think it keeps it moving. Your partner experiences the flow of the sexual energy as well. It doesn't pool with your partner either.
Can I just say, first of all, thank you for that, because I reach for snacks all the time. And if that actually helps that and helps me like stay more on track, I'm definitely going to try that. Now I do want to say 100% I'm on board with the, not ejaculating or doing it very, very sparingly. When I do that, when I hold off, like I barely even masturbate. When I let that tension build, I'm more creative. I'm more energized. I'm more focused. Like everything is heightened. And so now I only do it during sex, but even now I want to pull back on that because I love the feeling of holding that energy in.
Yeah. I think we are all going to witness kind of a worldwide movement among men of non-ejaculation. It's been, in the East forever, but it is in Western culture now. Scientifically, there's good evidence to not ejaculate a lot. Energetically, there's good evidence. It's just a really powerful dynamic that I'm just now beginning to see everywhere in men's circles, on the internet, more and more just moving towards non-ejaculatory practice. And I'm a believer in it. I swear by it. So yeah, I think we're going to start hearing a lot more about it. So you guys are ahead of the curve in that way. So anybody else want to share what their experience was like doing that? Anybody have a difficulty with it or kind of get stuck or not experience anything? Or did you experience something really cool?
I'd probably just say that it took a little bit to get the coordination going.
It does.
But and then you sort of like, oh, the penny kind of drops. It's like, okay, this is how it's meant to flow. Sort of still feel like I need more practice to get there. But that's with my experience of it.
Cool.
But it was also relaxing as well, so that was good.
Yeah, and it's something to practice. Most of these things are called a practice. Because, whether it's Wim Hof breathing, whether it's Qigong, whether it's sitting meditation, it's called a practice because we have to practice. And and until it becomes integrated into our nervous system. Because, like, for example, I forget to do this all the time during sex. And sometimes it isn't until I start getting excited that I remember, oh, I'm supposed to be breathing right now, you know. So I still have to remind myself. So it's a practice, and it just does take time. And something about that movement of PC to sphincter muscle, once you practice it a little bit, it'll just start feeling just really natural, just moving one muscle to the next. But it takes a practice them individually to distinguish them, and then practice them together, practice them individually, then together, just to make that muscle memory distinction. Anybody else want to share anything about the experience? Yeah, Wally.
I've always got something to say, Robert.
Of course you do. That's why I bring you along. I always learn something.
Well, here's the thing. You know, diaphragmatic breathing, the diaphragm is the only internal organ that you can control. You can't control your kidneys. You can't control your pancreas, but your diaphragm you can. So that's really important. It gives you a connection to your inside of your body. And most men don't know how they feel half the time anyways. And we lose our connections to our bodies in so many ways.
You're being optimistic when you say we don't know what we feel half the time. That's optimistic.
Yeah. And so I think this is a wonderful exercise. I'm a big breathing fan. I even snow blowed out a third of a mile track around the property here so that I could walk all winter and breathe in for six, out for six, in for six, out for six, all winter. I did it. And I do it four or five times a day, and it's wonderful. I got the missus doing it. And I think it's a great exercise. And what this is really good is it puts you in touch with that internal state of your organs, your digestive system, your the Kegel. This is a really important stuff. And I highly encourage. I've been a hypnotist for many, many years. And these breathing exercises, I think you're going to see in the last 10, 15 years, you saw doctors saying, well, diet and exercise is the first thing you should go. I think you're going to see breathing and this kind of visualization, this kind of self-hypnosis sort of work. I think you're going to see that take right off in the next 10 or 20 years.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be a big part of people's lives in the West, where it's been like that, as you said, in the East for forever.
Yeah.
So good stuff, man. Yeah.
Thanks, Walt. Appreciate it. Okay. Anybody else before we move on? Greg, is it?
Oh, no, I was waving bye to a teenager. Sorry.
Okay. they're stoned. They won't even remember.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Okay. I'm fairly irreverent if you haven't figured that out yet. But you know.
No worries. It's all good.
None of it
matters. I know what they're up to.
Yeah. We're all going to die. None of it matters. And my kids smoked dope. My son's a pot farmer. So, you know, there you go. A legal pot farmer at that.
Yeah, it's a growing business.
It's a growing business. Okay, so let me just talk a little bit just about the groups themselves. You know, those of you who've done the groups with me, you know what this is all about. Those of you who've never done them, I'll just say a little bit about it. And it all started with COVID, and I've been doing in-person workshops. 3 or 4 or 6 of them a year in different various locations. And people had asked me, would I do them online? Especially, as you might imagine, people in Europe, Australia, Asia. But I just didn't think it would be the same. And so I didn't. And then when I had to start canceling one workshop after another because of COVID, and at that time, you know, it's like, oh, it's going to come and go. And you know, we'll all hunker down for a month and it'll come and go. And it didn't do that. So I just kept canceling. So last May, I'm a big fan of adapting to what is. And some people again asked, want to do a virtual workshop. And I'm a pragmatist. I had several people who had paid me money to do in-person workshops. And I thought, I don't really want to give them their money back. So I'll do a virtual. I'm a pragmatist. Yeah, let's see if I can convince them to do a virtual workshop. And so I launched one for a Sunday afternoon. It filled up really in less than 48 hours. So I thought, I'll do one on a Friday night as well. And a few people moved from Sunday to Friday, and they both filled up. And, you know, I had a little bit of apprehension about doing it. It's 5 weeks for the TPI, a 6th week for the coaches. And I used a lot of the technology. You know, I'd already was using Zoom a lot, technology I'd learned in the men's program I met with and myself. And they were just fantastic. And what just blew me away, and I think it blew everybody else away because everybody else had the same kind of preconception as I did. We just won't get as close as in person. That's really what I believe. Because in person, you know, when I do the weekend workshop, the guys start Friday night, everybody's a stranger. Sunday is like, you know, they've been fat frat brothers since college. And they go out and eat Saturday night. We just do a lot together. And the guys get really close. And what I found through the virtual workshops, because I give homework assignments in between sessions just to work on stuff that we can bring back. And for those of you who are in my earliest sessions, now, most of the group sessions, the calls, are just processing stuff. Very little of me actually presenting materials. I've been recording just videos along the way that guys watch in between the calls. But a lot of times, these homework assignments involve connecting with other guys in the workshop over Zoom or over Signal or over something called MeWe. And I'm going to introduce you to all of those in just a minute. And so what I found now, and you know, like everybody in here will attest, is that the men they get amazingly close, more than you would think doing a virtual program. Guys that have never met each other, now, you know, coming up on a year, still meeting with each other regularly. And quite honestly, I can't say that about the in-person workshops. I know a lot of people have done in-person workshops, make a really good friend or two. You've done that, right, Vince? You've got some close buddies from the in-person workshops and they stay in touch. But for a whole group of men to stay connected months and months and months, I see that in the virtual workshops. I don't see it so much in the in-person workshops. Not that it can't be done, but here's the thing. Everybody in a virtual workshop's already in the habit of connecting with each other virtually, right? So you just keep doing what they've been doing for the last 5 or 6 weeks. So the calls themselves are 3 hours. We usually do some kind of practice. We usually check in about that experience. We then have a very short check-in about what the guys want to talk about or process. And then typically most of the rest of the call is processing around those subjects. Sometimes it's also doing checking in and working on some of the homework assignments that I give. So it's usually a blend of those three things over the three-hour call. And like I said, I give a lot of homework assignments in between. So the group sessions, everyone, like I typically do a Friday night and a Sunday morning workshop on the same, starting at the same time on a weekend, and both workshops will go in very different directions. There'll be similarities, but just whatever the guys are wanting to work on and deal with, and just the personality of each workshop will be very different, and which makes that, keeps it interesting for me because it's always got its own personality. I tell guys in all my programs, you know, you determine what you get out of this. So when you come, make your needs a priority. Come and get what you need from that. And for those of you who've been in a workshop with me, did you find that was facilitated, that when you had something you wanted to address, wanted to work on, that at some point or another, you got that worked on, right? So I really try to facilitate that. Wherever you're at, we will spend time, at least some time, and at least one call or more dealing with that. Joe mentioned earlier that he was going through a difficult time. Jesse was going through a very similar difficult time in relationship. And you know, we took time to work with these guys on, you know, basically what do you do when your wife doesn't want to be married to you anymore? So, you know, that's challenging stuff. And so it's been a good process. So let me just share a couple of the tools. I'm going to do a screen share with you. And let me pull up my browser. There we go. When you sign up for the workshop, whether you're just doing the virtual TPI or the coach certification, everybody gets this page. And this is where all the information goes for the workshop. There's a little introduction video, kind of just to talk you through all the materials in the program, all the dates. This is from the program I just finished. All the dates in January with the times of the call, the Zoom link for the call. So you can always go back and find that. All the information I present I try to, well, I try anything that's vulnerable information, personal information, I keep either here behind the firewall on my website or on MeWe or in Signal, both of which are encrypted and private. So I do everything I can to protect confidentiality and privacy. So then this part of the resource page just talks a little bit about the format of it, what's expected of you. And then this TPI workshop video series is something I started during the first workshops I did back in May that I've just slowly been building on. And it's going to keep growing. Just different stuff that I was presenting in the in-person and virtual workshops during the sessions. Now I've got these videos or screen share videos, PowerPoint presentations mostly, that the guys can watch in between the calls. And then we talk about them on the calls rather than me presenting the information on the calls. So as you notice, there's several. Now, these aren't all videos. Some of them are the PDF slide decks of them. But there's about, I don't know, 8, 10 of them. So about differentiation, about husbanding your feminine. Really, we often get into a lot of dynamics around masculine, feminine polarity, which is really, again, that's another thing that really we Western men are really getting introduced to now. Then I record all the calls. And usually I stop and start the recording, so I kind of cut it up. So as you can see, for each week, then I'll post them so you can download the MP3 of them. So usually, you know, it's an introduction. Here's a guided meditation. Week 2, guided visualization of living our best life. Week 3, Wim Hof and death visualization. I love doing death visualization with Wim Hof breathing. Here we did a father wound meditation. I did that for the first time on my last seminar. So that was very powerful. So I post all the recordings. So see, you can go back and listen to anything from the call at any time. There's some articles that support things that we typically talk about in the program, several diagrams, and then a bunch of free podcasts that also support a lot of the materials, and then just a reading list, not required, but just some books that I tend to like and have helped me a lot. So this is the workshop resource page that TPI people get and the people in the certification get. Now, I mentioned MeWe. Almost nobody's ever heard of MeWe. And it's kind of like Facebook, except they don't steal your data and sell it. It's private. And so I post all the homework assignments, and I'm going to scan through it just to protect anonymity. But this is where people will post homework videos. I like to give homework videos. Most people hate doing them, but once they do them, they love them. And it's just a great way to connect. So, there's, you know, we'll put our videos here. You can comment. There's a video. I post several videos here, post homework stuff. So the MeWe is just a good tool for uploading material in a coherent way that we can find it. Okay. Now, in terms of just kind of general chit chat with each other, I use now Signal. When I first started doing, I was using WhatsApp. I've never been happy that Facebook bought it and started sucking the data out of it as well. And so when Facebook a couple months ago said, oh, we're going to make everybody sign now that we get permission to steal all your data from WhatsApp. I just had started this last workshop, and I made a comment in one of the workshops, and two or three guys said, let's move to Signal. So I now do the groups on Signal. So I set up a group on Signal where everybody can just check in day and night. And this is so good for building community. Just like I said tonight, you know, Joe that's on this call, you know, just said, hey, anybody want to get together tonight? And it's just a great way to stay connected. You can talk about problems, put funny stuff, support each other. And it's just a great way to connect with each other. So those are the main tools that we use throughout the workshop. I'm going to stop the share, bring it back to you guys. And that's just kind of an overview of what I try to do in the workshop itself. And as I said, my main goal is to build community during the program and hopefully long after the program has ended. So that's really all I want to say, just to walk through what the virtual workshop looks like. And I'll just open it up to any questions you guys have about workshops. I can answer them. Some of the alumni on the call can answer them. So if you got a question, just, you know, raise your hand. And Greg.
I got just two kind of basic ones. Like, how often do you do them? I know there's one coming up pretty soon, but just want to check on that. And then how do you avoid distractions at home while you're in the 3-hour block? Like, I'm doing a very good job
of that right now. Yeah. So, it's a challenge. I get that. So first question, the answer is random. I'm going to do these in March, and I won't do another series, I'm sure, until fall or fall, U.S. fall, North America fall, Western Hemisphere, whatever it is, September, October, mainly because this summer from Memorial Day through Labor Day, so late May through early September, I'm going to take a writing sabbatical. And I'm clearing my calendar, and I'm going to write and maybe do some road trips and write some more. So I'm not going to do any workshops, no very limited consultation with clients. I'm not going to teach any classes this summer, not going to do any interviews this summer. So with all that said, I won't be doing any till probably I'll start the next one mid-September. That's what I'm thinking. I kind of got to see how a couple of other things in my fall schedule pan out, but that's where I'm thinking right now. But I know it won't be before then. Second question. That's a good question. And the good thing about like where you're at time wise, you're East Coast, right? So it's 9 o'clock at night. Now for me, it's 8 o'clock at night here. I have home office. I go in and close the door. And you know, when I get done 3 hours later, my family's all in bed. And, you know, I really kind of like that. It's just me and the dog that are still up. And, you know, I kind of milk that a little bit, you know, kind of wind down a little bit before I go to bed. So because it's late, maybe that will help a little bit at the same time that you're at right now. But I think what you have to do is just find a corner of your house where you can do this. Hopefully where there's not a lot of traffic, people coming through. I get you have adolescents. And just let everybody know, hey, you're going to be on an important call for 3 hours. It's therapy. You can just say it's therapy. And please don't interrupt me. You know, if they have to walk by, fine, but don't go. And we take breaks. We take usually a 10-minute break about halfway through, and then usually a 5-minute break before the last hour. So there are some breaks. So if people need your attention, you can tell them ahead of time, there will be a break and that you can go pay attention to them. So, you know, you just do the best you can with that. Is that helpful? Okay.
Yeah, I can ask another unless.
Go ahead. Yeah, that's monopolize. What, that, as you notice, you know, there's not that many people. So, yes.
Yeah. I mean,
I want to answer all your questions.
Sure. Fair enough. So I've got obviously a lot of shit going on at home, you know, trying to deal with the affair that was recently discovered. And I guess how do you kind of, given how much shit I'm in, like, how do I kind of rack and stack this and prioritize this versus, I don't know, couples therapy or individual therapy or reading books, you know, everything else that's possibly out there. Yeah. as a, you know, way to try to get out of what I'm in.
Yeah, to survive this thing. Yeah. Okay. You know, for a good several years in my own private practice, I worked a lot with issues of infidelity. It started because, you know, like I said, I'd acted out as well. And so I started, you know, as I did my own work, and which involved doing a lot of nice guy recovery work, I started, you know, attracting and advertising to work with people recovering from infidelity. And quite honestly, if I had my way working with a man who's acted out, whether it's like repeated use of porn that he keeps getting caught at or some other sexual acting out in terms of like, you know, massage parlors or hookers or had an affair, if I had my way, I'd put him in a men's group because he needs to be with men. Because basically all he's going to hear, he's going to be in the echo chamber of his wife telling him what a shithead he is. Right. So you need to get with men who aren't going to think you're a shithead, you know, and maybe they can relate to what you've been through and are going through and can hold you accountable. And quite honestly, when I joined the men's program I'm in now, 3+ years ago, I did it for a couple of reasons. One was because I'm fairly isolated and I needed men in my life. But I also realized that that piece of my own codependency of where I like it when women like me and, you know, want to be with me, that I realized that had still shown up again when I thought I'd gotten over it. And I thought, you know, I need counsel of men, because I need to be with men where I am transparent about every dynamic, whether I'm pissed at my wife or I'm struggling here or I'm started a flirtation with a woman over here. I need that. So in terms of priority, I would actually put books at the bottom of the priority list. That's just going to put you in your head and, you know, you might get a few good ideas out of it. I know, like I said, Wally's a voracious reader and I read as well. And then there's good books on the subject, but if I had to rank them, I would say that you being in a men's group and you doing couples counseling with your wife, with somebody who understands fidelity issues, that I would say those hand in hand would be ideal. So, you know, whether you do something like this or get into a men's group, I just be with men, be in the company of men. Clayton said he's got to go. Let me ask one question. Clayton, you're going to take off. Did you have any questions, Clayton, before you go?
No, I'm all good. Thanks.
I know you're all good, but I want to know if you had questions.
Yeah, no questions. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for dropping in and we will see you real good. Yep. We'll see you soon. All right. Yeah.
Vince. Yep. Okay. Cool. All right. Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. Greg, I just wanted to say to you, man, two things. First thing, I really admire your openness and transparency. It's not necessarily a typical nice guy trait to be open and transparent about where you are until you're kind of at a point where you feel like you have to. Like, I'm almost like, for nice guys, kind of feel like there has to be a gun pointed at their head for them to be who they are and and themselves. So kudos to that. Second thing, I want to tell you that getting caught cheating is going to be this wonderful catalyst for your life. I mean, if you let it, I mean, this could be the most amazing catalyst for a chain of events in your life that change your life and the people around you in their lives for the better. You know, honestly, there's a part of me that's really envious, mainly because I'm not lying either.
Vince doesn't lie. So,
I mean, I'm telling you, you know, I remember when I first reached out to the doc and got some help. I was in a really bad spot, really bad place in my life. And it was a huge catalyst for change. And boy, what a monumental time for growth for me it has been for the past year and a half. And I feel like in many ways I'm on the other side of it. Not that I don't have a lot of room to grow. I do, but all the crap I went through, I'm really feeling the benefits of it now. So congratulations, honestly, on getting caught cheating. I think it's going to be amazing for you.
Yeah, our unconscious finds ways to get us moving in the direction we need to go. We need to honor our unconscious. And even, you know, even the part of us that says, well, am I fucking unconscious? No. Yeah, honor it, really. And, you know, I said books would be the last thing I'd say right now, even though you just finished my book. I'll go back on that. Okay, yeah. You know, my book's a good thing to read. I was thinking just a couple of other books, just in terms of building, that I think are just great relationship books. One is called Passionate Marriage by Dr. David Snarch. Love the guy. Unfortunately, he just passed away 3 or 4 months ago. So Passionate Marriage by David Snarch, and anything by Esther Perel. She's got a book called Mating in Captivity, and a more recent one that I've not read. Knowing Wally, he probably has. She's got a book on infidelity. I don't know if she even calls it infidelity, but why people don't. He's up looking at his bookshelf. He's going to probably pull down every book that I've mentioned. Wally, you're muted, and your microphone's to the back.
It's called The State of Affairs.
State of Affairs by Esther Perel.
Yeah, it's a great book.
Yeah, I love her stuff. Love her stuff.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure my wife read that. It's in the Kindle queue. So
it's in the Kindle queue. So see your wife. Okay. All right. So again, Greg, you know, if you think doing this workshop is good timing, it would work for you. I think it'd be a good place because, like I said, several of the men on this call did a workshop when they were in a pretty bad place, and they're all smiling, you know. And it's not that they're all completely out of that difficult place yet, but they're not going through it alone. And that's such a difference. Michael?
Yeah, I just want to back up everything that you're saying, going all the way back to having a group of men. I was in the midst of a very, you know, 2020 was such a whirlwind year for me. Got laid off, big career change, broke up with this obsession woman that I had. And I was a wreck, and these guys really held me up, but they didn't just hold me up. They showed me where I was going wrong. It wasn't like, poor baby. It was like, and talk about, staying connected over technology. Like I still chat with these guys that I was in the workshop with in July, or no, sorry, it was like August. And I'll say something, and even like Dr. Glover, you chime in and you point out, it's just like, shit, I'm being a victim. I'm going through like my own self-victimization here. And you didn't say that to me directly, but you said it in so many words that I really got it. And that was just, and that was another monumental shift. So it's like, I'm still reaping the benefits of doing that program months later.
Yeah. One of the reasons, this isn't even a pitch for this program, but I love working with men. Those of who've worked with me, it's obvious. I love working with men. And one reason I like working with men is I can get a big stick out and smack them upside the head and just say something like, you're being a fucking victim. The first time I say it, I do it a little bit kinder than that. If I have to say it again, I just come after them. And I found that the men really appreciate just a straightforward approach. Let's just get real with this stuff and let's go to work on what we need to go to work on. And that's my approach. And that's why I love working with men. All right. Well, let me kind of bounce around. Anybody else other than alumni, just for a minute, and Joel, I'll come back to you in a second. I want to get questions, any questions out of the way. If anybody else has questions. So we've covered pretty much everything you guys want to know. All right, cool. I'm glad to hear that. So Joe, go ahead and say what you're going to say, and then we'll just kind of move towards wrapping this thing up. It's late for some of you, and I'll kind of tie it together where you can get the resources and links for registration if that's something you want to do. So go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, Greg, to reiterate around the men's, what I found is that there are some men's groups that are connected to coaches that are from this group. And because of the nice guy tendencies, that has been paramount, because there's other men's groups out there. There's a one down the street that they're just finishing up their fish fry for the local church, but they're not going into the kind of deep work that we're doing here. And so when I looked at the different things, I found that I gravitated to my coach that I've got a one-on-one with, along with his men's groups. And then when I did the TPI, it was like on steroids because we were willing to go so deep. One of the key things that you want to look for in those men's groups is walking in and assuming that all of these guys, A, have your back, and B, are your best friends that you haven't seen for the last 20 years. And that really made a difference in my progress.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, and Joe's a good example of this, you just got to dive in and take responsibility for getting what you need out of this or any program, and Joe's done that. Again, I'm a big believer of men's programs. I did the majority of my nice guy recovery in 12-step program, all men, because of sex addicts group, and a men's program I was in for 3 or 4 years. And I've now been in another men's program for 3 years. And when I left private practice 7, 8 years ago, I was leading 5 men's groups a week. I just believe in them. So yeah, you'll hear me preaching that till the day I die. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. Let me just kind of tie this up a little bit. And then if any of the alumni want to share anything else, we can do that. So what I'll do is on the resource page that you got added to your account page at drglover.com for this particular call, I will put links for registration for both the Friday and Sunday workshop. I'll put a link to you can make a single payment and get a 10% discount, or you can split the cost in two and pay now, and the second payment's due a week before the workshop starts. I'll put links for both of those for both workshops. I'll put a coupon code up that you could also use if you register. That'll save you $100 extra, no matter how you sign up. In one or two payments, you can use the code to save you an extra $100. And I just wanted to do that to say thanks for people coming out and doing this thing with me. I'd never done these kind of webinars to pitch for the groups before, but I thought, it's a good idea. I saw somebody else another coach doing it, and I thought, yeah, why not do that? It'd give people a good idea of what to expect going into the workshop before they actually get there. So sure, why not? So I'll put all that information up on that resource page. So it's just right there. And I'll put also the link for just the informational landing page from drglover.com that just talks, about the workshops in general, in case you haven't looked at that. And if you have any questions about anything about the workshops or just anything about my services or what I offer, reach out to me and I'll get back to you. And if there's any just details that you want to know, I'll fill in the blanks for you. And so I appreciate all of you that came out, my alumni, and for those of you that just came out to hang out with some men and maybe get some information, appreciate you being here. So I'm just going to give the alumni, if anybody just anything else you wanted to share before we wrap this thing up. Wally?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that working with you and watching you work last year, I was supposed to go to Edmonton, and then I think I was in your first virtual because it was canceled because of COVID. And watching you work, I was one of those guys who was like, what? I thought this was a coaching thing, but it was just wonderful. You're really sharp. You've got a depth of experience that's unparalleled in the business. You work for men. You've made all the mistakes yourself, and you've recovered from them. You've got a really nice manner with people. I guess a physician they'd call it bedside manner, but you really know how to work your way around a men's group. And so I really appreciated watching you. It was good to go. Just wanted to say one other small thing, if I could, about men's groups. Geez, I can't tell you how much I think this is such a good idea. Most of us guys, most of what weakens a man, from my experience, is Oedipal problems. I have a little boy who's 7. When he was 5, him and I used to argue at the supper table about whose woman his mother belonged to. I would say, well, Howie, it's my woman, And he said, no, mommy's my woman. It was the cutest fucking thing. He'd say, no. So we'd have this cute, and mom would sit over there kind of chuckling, and we'd have this cute little discussion about, no, that mommy is my woman. And I said, no, Howie, she can't be your woman. She's your mom. She's my woman. She's 30 years younger than I'm 63. She's 33. So we'd have this whole discussion. So he was 5. At 6, a little bit less, he would never sit on the couch with me at 5. At 6, the odd time he'd sit on the couch with me if we had like a family movie night. Now he spends more and more time, comes in here, lifts weights with me more and more. So the answer to the Oedipal child, the little boy who's in love with his mother, which every little boy has to have, is to move towards the father eventually, to move towards the masculine. And so you could see little Howie doing it. Now he says, we'll share her. So he's gone from 5, she's my woman, to now he'll say, well, Dad, we'll share. And last summer when he was 6, I remember hearing him in the other room saying, mommy, when I grow up, I'm going to marry you, But now 6, 7, 8 months later, more time with me here and there, he says that we'll share her. And so this is the little boy in a natural setting, moving away from the mother and towards the masculine. And a lot of us men got stuck on that feminine way back in the day, and that we, and those things are unresolved. So the way to fix that, that unconscious part of ourselves is still operating, is to move towards the masculine. And this is why men's groups are so important, and the work that you do is so heaven sent. So that's my sense.
I hope. Thank you, Wally.
You got
it. I was just sitting there thinking about poor Howie's little castration fears of having to fight over.
He's doing fine. We're letting him go. I'm in on all this stuff.
That's such a beautiful illustration of what I teach, of how that process should work, of moms being willing to let go and dads feeling safe enough for the boy to move that direction.
Exactly.
I love it. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else want to share just anything before we wrap it up for the night? Vince? Chente. Oh, so, I got to work on it.
You do. Chente. You totally do, though.
I do.
See. So I want to build a little bit on what Chris said. I mean, what Chris was brilliant in the way he described it and the way he described you. What I got out of this workshop was, you know, I'm a nerd to the bone. You know this, Doc. I mean, so I equated a little bit to the Matrix, you know, when in the movie The Matrix, when, you know, Neo finally sees what's real. He kind of strips it all down and sees exactly things as they are. You do that when you explain the masculine and the feminine. You help see your role as a man differently. You help me see my role as a man differently than I ever could have without you. And you also bring very practical, your three steps to opening to a woman sexually.
The three rules for great sex.
Yeah.
And nice guys always forget what the three rules are. They know there's three somethings, but you know, what were those three rules?
Yeah,
I know you can. You practice them.
Absolutely, I do. And it's such practical. So this is not just like heady stuff. These are like practical things you're going to use. You're going to take with you for the rest of your life. So I just wanted to say that too.
Oh, thank you. Well, gentlemen. All right. Well, we got a question down here.
Yeah. Well, not a question, but I've been a part of men's groups for like 20 years now. And in fact, through one of them is how I got introduced to you. And, you know, I consider the guys that I've sat in circle with as like my brothers. Mm-hmm. And I could go 10 years and not see them. And the minute I see them, we're hugging, because it's like that connection is never gone. And what's really, really strange, and you guys all know what I'm about to say, is that I don't know any of you, but I feel connected to you guys like I sat in circle with you over and over and over again. Every one of you guys, it's like, I'm looking at you like, man, I know him. I know this guy from somewhere. And it's like, it's just that connection that you build through these kinds of things that are just so important. And it's awesome. So I really appreciate sitting in this with you tonight. It was just brought
You're
back
welcome.
Just a lot of really good feelings.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And you know, this is my life. This is what I do. Just working with men. And yeah, I'll echo that, you know, when it's not COVID, I do these in my own home. You know, men come into my home. My wife and children get to see the men I work with. And, you know, really, my wife doesn't know what the hell I do. You know, it's just, you know, she just knows I talk to men. I'm on Zoom a lot, and that sometimes people come do workshops with me. She knows I've written books. But she sees the men that come in our home, and she'll often say, you know, I like seeing how the men look up to you. I mean, that makes her feel good. But the thing of that is that, you know, men like Vince, you know, he comes down to Mexico, and, you know, we have him over for dinner, and he spends time, you know, they become family. And a lot of men I've worked with through the program become part of my family. And, you know, they come in my home and they meet, they're with my wife and kids, and they experience her great cooking and my kick-ass margaritas. And, you know, that's just community. And we men need it. And, I love building it. So anything moving forward that I get to be part of community with any one of you men, that excites me. So I'm grateful for you guys. I'm grateful for the process I get to be in my life working with men. So let me pull this together and, you know, I'll get the recording posted if anybody wants to go back and look at it. And if anybody has any questions after the fact, just drop me a line and be glad to answer the questions. And, you know, feel free to come back on Sunday and do this again with me. Be happy to see any one of you guys. And it will be different than this one because it always is different. And I love that too. All right, gentlemen, have a good night. Have a good day. And hopefully we'll see every one of you in some form or another very soon. Take care.
Thank you.
Have a good night.